Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week, our hosts venture off to the cinema and return with their insightful reviews on The Expendables and Eat, Pray, Love. And now, without further ado, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hi, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And for our first review, we have the action movie The Expendables, released by Lionsgate and starring Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, and Mickey Rourke, among others. In this, Stallone heads a group of mercenaries who flex their aging muscles and shoot their guns on behalf of their clients.
They are the world's greatest mercenaries. The only life they've ever known is war. The only loyalty they've ever had is to each other.
Drop your guns!
I got the four on the left.
Why don't you take the two on the right and leave the rest?
You're not that fast anymore.
Oh, here we go.
The only thing faster is...
light.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Well, I got three pieces of work.
Two a walk in a park, and one to hell and back.
So, we are working for the agency.
I gotta recon this island first.
The only thing you need to know is the job's real and the money's real.
Give this job to my friend here. He loves playing in the jungle, right?
Right. It's his problem.
Maybe you can help.
I don't think so. How are you? I'd leave. We don't have the manpower, the firepower. We'd be dead in the water.
Great. They got a small army. What do we got? 4.5 men.
That's so funny. 10 seconds, you won't believe what's gonna happen.
What happened to you?
I got my ass kicked.
Now, at about an hour and 45 minutes, the pacing isn't perfect, but with a clear beginning, middle, and end, it works. This is a well-constructed action movie, and here we get to experience basic storytelling 101 for a consistent, action-packed ride that will sure to whet the appetite for those in need of some summer action fun. Sure, the writing is cheesy at points, and one has to suspend believability for much of the ride, but that's fine. The basic story is this. When Stallone and his team of tired-out war heroes is hired by Bruce Willis to overthrow the police state on a small foreign island in South America, he quickly discovers that the job is too dangerous and not worth the price. But he is inspired to carry out the mission anyway, not for the money per se, but because of a woman's idealism. The woman turns out to be the daughter of the military leader on the island who doesn't like how her father is running things. Stallone is enamored with the woman's idealistic dedication to her cause, and this gives him a chance to perhaps capture some of that idealism for himself. The movie's R rating is earned through often bloody and graphic violence, some of which is obviously digitized. That and the cinematography makes it often feel like you're watching a first-person shooter video game, but the story manages to carry it through and make it worth your while. You do get a good sense of what's going on and where, which is a relief from the shaky camera syndrome which seems to have permeated today's action movies. The combination of big guns and martial arts, the martial arts being delivered mostly by Jet Li with success and some comic relief, gives us enough variety to avoid too much visual repetition. Stallone deserves kudos for delivering a solid action-packed summer movie, serving as star, director, and co-writer for the script. Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger also have a cameo, which kind of takes you out of the story, and Mickey Rourke doesn't do much here other than sit back in his seat at home base and talk. But so what? This is violent, mindless fun, and if you like that kind of thing, the story, while cheesy at times, actually has a plot. And for that reason, I give it a B.
Oh, Mr. Movie, I don't think we were watching the same film. The idea of The Expendables was to have a throwback 80s action shoot 'em up. Unfortunately, what we got was a throwback, a bad one. To call the writing cheesy is being kind. The story and dialogue are absolutely incomprehensible most of the time. True, the dialogue is in English and there are definable words, but I had no idea what was going on. The structure of co-writer Stallone's script is pretty weak as well. There are no surprises and a minor reversal that's more an annoyance than anything. And the bad guys are super lame. I mean, come on. Stallone and Statham knock out about a quarter of the entire country's small military early in the film, armed just with handguns and their martial arts skills, which it's pretty ridiculous.
Awesome. It's pretty awesome.
I think it's ridiculous. Okay. Come on. I mean, they don't even get a broken nail. I have to admit, some of the action sequences are sort of fun, but I never felt the edge of my seat thrill I should have. At one point, and this is a true story, I even considered taking a nap. The romances are weak as well. And as motivation for putting one's life in danger, a girl's ideals, seems pretty far-fetched, even in a far-fetched fantasy. I mean, mercenaries are ruled by money, not ideals. And the fact that the actress playing this sort of love interest is 36 years Stallone's junior is pretty laughable. And also talking about romance for a second, Statham's with Charisma Carpenter seemed an afterthought since it's so rushed and perfunctory and they have absolutely no chemistry at all. So in the end, I just wish the Expendables had lived up to their names and given up the ghost. And because the film is in focus, I'll give it a D-.
Well, you're right that the bad guys are lame. They are lame, but, you know, this is an action movie, and it's really about kicking butt. And about the woman in the movie, I didn't really take her as a love interest. I mean, I think that he liked her and her idealism, but it wasn't really a romantic thing.
Yeah, well, they didn't really play it for that, but I felt that it was more than, you know, like he felt like a father, like he was a father figure to her or something like that. I mean, it seemed like there was something else that they were trying to do with that character and that relationship, which never really worked at any level. I mean, I'm with you with a lot of the action sequences in and of themselves and that kind of video game sort of approach to them. But the rest of it was just – it just really didn't really work for me. Even as looking at it as a throwback 80s film, it just did not – it didn't work at any level for me.
All right. Well, we have our first major disagreement here on the movie
show,
which is good. We'll see how we how things pan out here with Eat, Pray, Love. Mr. Film?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Movie. Now, moving on from the violent to the romantic, we do have Eat, Pray, Love. Now, the pursuit of a balanced, fulfilled life is the motivation that drives the romantic travelogue.
Here I am with a 9th-generation medicine man, and what do I want to ask him about? Getting closer to God? Nope. I want to discuss my relationship.
Since I was 15, I've either been with a guy...
Your underwear, my queen.
Just folded my delicates.
You are in so much trouble.
Or breaking up with a guy. I haven't had so much as 2 weeks just to deal with myself. What did you have for lunch today?
Oh, a salad.
Exactly. I used to have this appetite for food, for life, and it's just gone. I want to go someplace where I can marvel at something.
I'm going to Italy, India, and I'm going to end the year in Bali.
I love you and I'm proud of you.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
This is my no-carb left-behind experiment. I'm going for it.
When Liz Gilbert, played by Julia Roberts, goes through a painful divorce and equally painful rebound love affair, she realizes that she has it all except, well, happiness. So she does what any rational person would do, chuck it all and go off in search of enlightenment. Her quest brings her to Italy, India, and finally Bali, where she learns all about eating, praying, and loving, makes a few friends, and changes her and their lives along the way. Now, there's a lot to recommend the PG-13 Columbia Pictures release. The scenery, for the most part, is beautiful, the acting good, and the writing ambitious, if not always successful. The Italian section is uniformly excellent. Here, Liz learns all about the wonders of enjoying oneself and doing nothing all day except living and, of course, eating. The food photography is gorgeous. Don't go on an empty stomach or you'll be getting sympathetic hunger pains about 30 minutes in. The pray section, which takes place in India, is less successful, tied up with all sorts of pop psychology and a subplot involving a young girl forced into an arranged marriage, reflecting a theme throughout the film that many women throughout the world don't have the options, independence, or power that the divorcee Liz has. Now, thankfully, this section is dispatched with fairly quickly, but not quite quick enough for my tastes. things get better in Bali, where Liz starts to put her life lessons together with the help of an old medicine man and falls in love with the suitably rugged Philippe, played by Javier Bardem, and learns that happiness and enlightenment are neat packages delivered on a predetermined timetable. Now, I liked Eat, Pray, Love up to a point, but I had some fundamental problems with the Liz Gilbert character. She is successful and independent and smart. She has it all, so her ennui is a little hard to swallow. Now, some of this could also be the fact that the script by director Ryan Murphy and writer Jennifer Salt is an adaptation of the book the real Liz Gilbert wrote about her year-long quest. Characters and situations were undoubtedly condensed, hurried along, or even eliminated. But with everything the film does put on the screen, you'd think that with a 2-hour and 15-minute running time, little would need to be condensed. Now, I would recommend Eat, Pray, Love as a good date flick. It's fairly well-balanced in terms of its view of the sexes. There is no overt man-bashing per se. The importance of love, and has enough scenery, both of the flora and fauna kind, to engage you throughout. And some of the themes should spark some good discussion over a scrumptious Italian dinner afterwards. But as a profound meditation on finding meaning in one's life, it falls short. I give this a B.
Well, that is just too generous, Mr. Film.
Really?
This is an awful movie. This is overindulgence with no substance. It's empty.
Really?
It's empty carbs, endless spaghetti, and mystic pizza that is fat for the soul, combined with overindulgence in faith, which, in my opinion, is poison for the mind, and finally capping it all off with a love affair with Javier Bardem, an overindulgence of love that leaves her with a urinary tract infection. I mean, okay, so Julia Roberts is in a loveless marriage and struggling with her identity, and she needs to venture off to find herself. I mean, I get that, but I just don't get this movie. And the Italian scenes with what feels like you're watching the Food Network, it's just endless shots of food, food, food. I guess maybe you like food more than I do, but it didn't carry the plot along.
I think I was hungrier.
Maybe. And they're sitting there having Thanksgiving dinner in Italy, which is a distinctly American holiday. I just don't get it. And then it jumps from the eat to the pray to, like, it's very jarring. Every jump is just like, boom, all of a sudden you're right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have to say the transition between the India section and the Bali section was very, very jarring. So I agree with you there.
And then the most offensive part of this movie is the pray part, where she's going off to some Buddhist monastery or something. And you talked about the arranged marriage with that Indian girl, who I liked. I liked her. And she doesn't want to be married to this guy. It's an arranged marriage, a forced marriage. And at the end of it, Julia Roberts just basically, you know, says like, oh, well, I prayed and I think everything's going to turn out okay. And isn't this exactly the kind of thing that Julia Roberts is trying to escape here? I mean, this is supposed to be a freedom quest, a freedom from a loveless marriage and embracing one's self. And then she just sort of flippantly decides it's all okay because it's the girl's culture and the boy's picture looks nice. I mean, I found that offensive.
And I agree with you. I think that the Indian section is the weakest part of the film. And I think that whole arranged marriage thing is pretty weak. So I didn't really like that part of the film. I was very happy when we went to Bali.
I have to say that Javier Bardem does save the movie somewhat. You know, he's funny and likable. He makes these mixtapes, which, you know, in this day and age is kind of ridiculous. And he does it with such pride and confidence. It's really a good character.
Yeah.
But in the end, too, I don't want to give anything away, but he kind of betrays the whole theme of the movie in a way. You know, so I don't know. Maybe the book is better, but I found this boring, tedious, and it even betrayed its values on its own terms, I think. And for that reason, I'm going to give Eat, Pray, Love a D-.
Wow. Wow. Two big disagreements this week. Wow. Now, did you see this by yourself or did you bring Mrs. Movie with you?
I brought Mrs. Movie. She liked it a little more than I did. But
yeah. Mrs. Film liked this a little bit better as well. So,
chick flick.
I think it is definitely a chick flick, and I think it opened up some. For me too, it also opened up some interesting discussions. I think in terms of, you know, what would you do to feed your soul, as it were, if you were in this sort of situation? So I thought that for me, it was a good jumping off point in terms of that. So obviously, though, I didn't quite hate it as much as you did.
I don't need a 2-hour movie to start a 10-minute conversation.
Well, our conversation was a little more than 10 minutes, and we did have a nice dinner afterwards. As a date flick, you know, I'd say it wasn't as offensive as you said it was.
Fair enough. We have a special announcement, actually, this week. We are doing away with our previous grading system, which was to not have a grading system, basically, and to invent something. We thought it'd be kind of funny to just come up with a new system every week to, you know, make fun, make a little bit of riff on the grades and all the stars and whatnot. But we decided that was confusing. Some of our listeners didn't like it. So we're going to go back to the grading system. Both Mr. Film and I like that the best.
Yep.
So let's go back and look at all the movies we've seen so far so we can grade them, and we'll have it on our website, and so we can all look and compare and contrast and whatnot over time as we like. So, Mr. Movie, let's start with The Last Airbender, the first movie we reviewed.
Well, The Last Airbender, if you remember, was probably one of the biggest train wrecks of the summer. And I have to give that a D-.
Agreed, D-. Okay, what about Inception?
Inception, conversely, one of the best films of the summer and maybe one of the best films of this year. I give that an A-.
I'm going to give it... I'm between C+ and B-. I'll go with B-.
Okay.
And then we had Salt, which we did review. I gave it a C-, you gave it a D+. And The Kids Are All Right, I reviewed, and I gave it a B. And then we went to Dinner for Schmucks.
That's correct. If you remember, I got a little indigestion from that fare, so I give that a B-.
I'm going to give it a C+, and the plus is for the mouse dioramas.
Which were awesome.
Yes. An A for those. And then,
yes.
And then Get Low.
Get Low, I liked that a little bit more than you did. I appreciated the slow Faulkner-esque qualities of it. I give that a B.
I'll give it a C. And then, let's see, last week we saw The Other Guys.
Which I thought was pretty funny. A little uneven, but pretty funny film. B+.
I'll go with a B on that one, I guess. I don't even remember that movie anymore.
I think you liked it.
Yeah, okay, B.
Not quite as much as me, but you liked it.
I'll give it a B. And then we both give The Extra Man, a what, Mr. Film?
I think we give that an F.
Okay. All right. That was easy.
Very easy.
So that wraps up the show for this week. For The Expendables, Mr. Film gave it a D-, and I gave it a B.
And for Eat, Pray, Love, Mr. Movie gave that a D-, and I gave it a B. So we're switched on this week.
Flip-flop. All right, next week there are 5 new releases. I don't think we'll get to all of them, but let's see. Starting first is The Lottery Ticket from Warner Brothers, and then Nanny McPhee returns with Emma Thompson and Maggie Gyllenhaal and Ralph Fiennes. Family movie there. Piranha 3D. It's in 3D. Has Richard Dreyfuss and Elizabeth Shue, and I don't know.
Another 80s throwback.
Yeah, I know. I kind of want to see this for some morbid reason. I can't figure out why. And then we have a comedy, The Switch, starring Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston. And finally, Vampires Suck.
They certainly do. That'll do it for the show this week. Visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com or drop us a line at mail@moviefilmshow.com. We'd love to hear what you think about the show and any suggestions for any movies you'd like to hear us talk about. Also, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the show that way. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Well, I don't need a 2-hour movie to start a 10-minute conversation. Hello? Mr. Film? offended him.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message that...
Also, he won't answer his phone now. Hello?
Hello?
Did I offend you?
No! Damn, Skype.
Yeah. Did you hear what I said?
I heard you didn't need 2 hours to something. And then
I said I don't need a 2 hour movie to start a 10 minute conversation.
All right.
So if you could have some rebuttal to that, we can move on to the next section.
Okay. Our email address, what is our email address?
mail@moviefilmshow.com.
Or email us at what was it again?
mail@moviefilmshow.com.
movieshow.com.
No, it's called moviefilmshow.
Okay, let me write this. Let me do this.
Vampires suck.
They certainly do.